Welcome to another episode of Nerd to an End Movie Podcast, where today we'll be talking about Ms. Marvel, Episode 2. Now let's hear the intro and get right into it. Welcome back. So today we're going to talk about Ms. Marvel Episode 2. This has been one hell of a weekend between three shows on drip, episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now Ms. Marvel, and then I'll be doing The Boys coming up in the next few days, well before the new episode comes out, because I got a lot to say about that. But for now, Ms. Marvel Episode 2. It was such a great episode, and I just love the fact that, once again, if people were just a little bit patient, they probably wouldn't be as upset. I mean, I know one of the few things that bothered me about the episode one was pretty much resolved in the second episode of Ms. Marvel. So, and like I said last week, I was like, hey, I'm not going to give up on it. It's just one episode. And here we are, episode two. Much better. Still not great. Still not perfect. But everything else around it, just beautiful. It was so good. And we'll get more into that in a second. But I just want to say again, like, if you don't like the show, then don't like the show. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's, especially if you have a lot of followers. Why don't you maybe say, this is what I think, instead of being like, hey, this is what it is. This show sucks because it didn't have this, or because of this or that. It's the difference between liking a show and then saying it's bad. Or mid, whatever the kids are calling it these days. And it's getting to the point where I don't understand why you make content unless it's 100% just for clicks. And to get views and to get your endorsements or whatever the case may be. That's really what it has to be at this point, because it's not objective. And then you will flip-flop and just change everything. Oh, one episode later, the show's great. Seriously? That's not how anything works. Like, anything. So why? I digress. But Ms. Marvel Episode 2, let's get into it. The episode opens up with Kamala walking through the halls of her high school. Now, if you remember in the first episode, she was kind of like mousy and wasn't sure of herself and everything, and it just wasn't a good experience. But here we are. This time, she walks through confident, like she's a celebrity. She even corrects the teacher that has been pronouncing her name wrong, apparently, for years. Dancing like nobody's watching, even though everyone is. Fist bumping her way to her locker where she parts the two girls who prevented her from getting her book in the last episode. And this is just such a stark change from her in the last episode. She felt like she was invisible, and now she feels like everyone can see her. Even though she doesn't have the powers according to them, these her classmates don't know this. But here she is, just Miss Marvel. I mean, it didn't take much for her to gain all the confidence in the world, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And then she's in a classic entertainment movie, a TV show trope where she walks into the hottie that she walks into him, and then she starts, oh, I'm sorry, and then she sees him, like, oh, instantly fall in love. And then enter now the third wheel, Bruno Carelli, played by Matt Lentz, who you might all know from Henry from The Walking Dead. It's clear that he definitely has feelings for her, but she just doesn't seem to have that for him. But more on that later. Why'd you got a friend zone him, Miss Marvel? I couldn't wait. Why'd you got a friend zone him? Bruno loves you in a way he probably doesn't even realize. Or maybe he does. And just doesn't want to ruin what you guys have as friends because he has other feelings. Ladies, I bet y'all really felt that. I bet y'all were like, man, I know how she feels. I know this. I bet y'all got a friend who probably loves you and would do anything for you, but you're just going to keep him in the friend zone. Not a good look. You know, and they talk about the video clips. Seem Kamala trying to test her powers. It says she tried to shrink, fly, and talk to ants. Bruno obviously responds, "Why do you think you have ant powers?" Which, oddly enough, comes from a suit and not actually powers, but I digress. She goes, "Because we're both charming and look a lot younger than they are." The actress who plays Kamala Khan is Iman Vellani, and she is currently 19. And doing research for this piece, found out that something really interesting. I found out while doing this research that both me and Iman have the same birthday. So, September 3rd, I'm going to wish you a happy birthday, and God, I hope you see it. Because that's awesome. Miss Marvel is awesome. but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So Zoe, the popular girl in school who Kamala saved in the first episode at Avengers Con, is now famous, and Kamala just hates it. She says, just imagine how many followers the person who saved her were getting. And then Bruno, of course, the voice of reason, of course, stresses the need for a secret identity. You know, and it's weird that Bruno feels the need to have the secret identity, because in the MCU, there is only one person who has a secret identity, and that's Peter Parker, and that's because of a magic spell. The way the MCU has done it is pretty much, even though they might wear a mask or a helmet, most people know who the superheroes are. Like, they know that Bruce Banner is the Hulk. They know that Tony Stark is Iron Man. They know that Steve Rogers is Captain America. And so on and so forth. The only one they don't know is Peter Parker, because Spider-Man and Doctor Strange had that spell at the end of No Way Home that changed that, so that no one knew who Peter Parker was. So it's interesting that, and like, she knows Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel. You know, that's not an issue. So my question is, why did he think it's so important? And I mean, obviously, given the situation, it probably makes sense because of the way her parents are. But, I mean, other than that, is that just his prime motivation? Or does he think that it's a wiser decision to have her have a secret identity just so she can have two lives? Which, according to Doctor Strange, you can't do. But it really is something that I find interesting. And, like, because in the comics, you know, most people, their secret identities are just that, secret. But not really in the MCU. Like even a lot of people didn't even know Captain America was Steve Rogers for a while in the comics. I mean, like, the Avengers knew, but like the general public didn't know. I mean, come on. They're literally an Ant-Man podcast that is hosted by Scott Lang. So, I mean, it's not like secret identities are really that secret in the MCU. Well, back to the episode. While listening to Zoe talk about what happened, Nakia makes a comment about her being the low, saved by the budget Captain Marvel. And of course, Kamala responds genuinely, "Thank you." Because that is probably one of the best things anyone's ever said to her. At this point, Nakia obviously doesn't know that Kamala is that person, because I mean, we haven't had a name yet there at this point in the episode. So thankfully, Bruno was thinking quickly on his feet and was like, "Well, yeah, like, thank you for saying it. I mean, come on." Everyone was thinking it, but then Zoe gives her a nickname, Captain Marvel. Wow, I'm really messing this up today. It's been a long day. I apologize. Let me retract that. Zoe gives a superhero name to the person who saved her, calling her Nightlight, which, of course, Kamala hates. Iman is so talented. Her subtle facial expressions change, and it looks so genuine. Zoe decides to have a party, and of course, they all don't want to go until Kamran, the hunky boy Kamala is in love with, decides to go. Side note, I really love how Bruno is basically dressing like Marty McFly from Back to the Future, and like no one's commented on it. Is it because the young kids don't know that he's literally stealing that style, or as the kids would say, jacking that swag. I felt really weird saying that, but I mean, I think I used the term right. I'm sure someone will let me know. And then all that happens before the title card even runs. And the title card was beautiful. There were so many different Miss Marvel logos that just cycled through. And it was just awesome. And that's something, the stylistic way this show is telling the story is just phenomenal. And I was watching episode one of Miss Marvel over again. And it watching it, knowing how good it is, after the second episode and how in-depth and amazing that they have gone into using different camera angles, you know, different lightings, different transitions. It's really, really well done from a cinematic standpoint, and I am very impressed. I was just so in awe of the show the first time I watched episode one that I don't think I actually noticed it as much as I did watching it again. As stylistic as the second episode was, when I'm watching the first one again, I'm like, oh, wow, wow. Oh, damn. Damn. Okay. And that's something that I feel like a lot of people also don't do. Like, I rewatch things over and over and over again and keep seeing things I like more or dislike. And, you know, I think if people gave these shows that kind of attention, a lot of things would be very different in the community and it wouldn't be as toxic in many areas. So Kamala and Bruno realize that she needs to train, and then we get a training montage, including just, you know, running, general athletics, and then also working on her powers. So she gets an idea from watching Bruno play video games that she might be able to use her powers to, like, hop and things. And like I said earlier, would you look at that? All I had to do was wait one episode, and a lot of my complaints and my issues pretty much were solved. I really didn't like initially what it seemed like the bangle was what gave her the powers, and I didn't like that. And now, because Bruno is a technological, he's basically Tony Stark 2.0, he was able to discover that the powers come from her. Now, many people just gave up because of the powers aren't what they were in the comics. And I made sure I said blatantly, one episode, give it a chance. It's not that hard. And there are so many people that just don't seem to care about much, but cool action scenes and surprise cameos. And that's just, I mean, I understand filmmaking is a little bit different than that, but whatever. So it's still a good chance that she might still be an Inhuman, which that doesn't, I mean, either way, as long as she doesn't get the powers from the bangle, I was pretty much fine. And maybe the bangle has some Terrigen Mist on it, but it's honestly irrelevant. But what I want to talk about is I really hope that they don't decide to make Kamala a mutant. And the reason why I say that, I really hope that that's not the route they take, because it would be a slick way, yes, to get the mutants into the MCU, or at least in this part of the MCU, because we obviously saw Professor X in Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness, so there are mutants in some place in the multiverse. But, I mean, could you imagine all of the racist and misogynist and Islamophobic people that would just come out the woodwork with a whole bunch of ammunition, basically like, oh, look, they got a riot. She's a mutant. Ha ha ha. That makes sense. I guess I can lock the show now because they call her what she is. Please don't let that be the case. I don't think that's a smart move, and I hope that's not the route they're taking. But we'll obviously still have to wait to see. Not that hard. Just saying. And I do have one new little complaint. When she's doing that training montage on the, when she was in the suit and, you know, hopping from thing to thing, the CGI did look a little bit dodgy. It looked very stiff. It looked like CGI from a few years ago. which I hope they go back in and realize that, and then like just paying a graphics artist to go in there and make it look a little bit better. But it, again, it's not bad enough to make me upset. I mean, but I'm very honest on my podcast, and if something's noticeable like that, that I was like, ooh, I'm gonna say it. And again, I'm not gonna stop watching because it looked a little dodgy in one spot. Everything else was beautiful. But that one scene, I was like, that one's not so great. But again, I'm not gonna attack the VFX writers. The VFX artists or the writers. Oh man, let me tell you, this is so poorly written, this show mid. Get over it. Nothing. There is not a single thing that is perfect in entertainment. There isn't one. You cannot give me a perfect movie or TV show. Please. Stitch, duet, comment, whatever you want, wherever you're looking at this, I don't care. Tell me, if you think there's a perfect film out there, please. I want to watch it. Because it doesn't exist. But, you know, it's, like I said, I just hope that's not the route they're taking. I could see them doing that, and that's just not, I don't think that's a smart move. Moving on, the next scene, I will admit, it was kind of hard to watch for me. I got a little uncomfortable watching the mosque scene. And to be clear, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a Muslim tradition. For me, it was just a separation of the men and women and how they were obviously treated different. And don't get me wrong, that is a Muslim tradition, but that's also like a Hasidic Jew tradition. And I would feel the exact same way if I was watching a Hasidic Jew do this. So it's not that. It's just now I just can't imagine it being like that, and that's because of my personal experiences. And honestly, that doesn't make it bad at all. And it's great that there is representation for things like this, not only MCU but all over. And this show is the closest thing that has had representation in this manner since like Black Panther for the African culture. And again, it hurts. It hurts me watching this because, and not because of anything that this show did. It's the fact that we didn't get this kind of representation for the Jewish people in Moon Knight. And I mean, two episodes into Ms. Marvel, where we're in a mosque watching all these traditions firsthand. And it took almost the entire series for Moon Knight to get a just offhand reference to a Shiva when his mom died, and one scene, that same scene where he takes off his yarmulke. That's it. I mean, that's not okay. And I promise you that what I'm about to say is definitely going to be controversial. This show is definitely rooted in the culture, and it highlights and puts it on full display. But there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because of money. There's big money in inclusion for the right people. And no, don't worry, I'm not going to get all MCU on you because it's nothing to do with that. But they made sure that they got an actress who had Pakistani heritage that was also a Muslim. Or practice the Muslim faith. Excuse me, I didn't want to, that came off a little weird. Because that is marketable, and because that is going to bring so many people into the fan base that wouldn't normally be into Marvel movies and stuff like that. Like there's videos all over TikTok of parents of like Marvel fans who are with Pakistani heritage or Muslim heritage that are watching and going, "Oh my God, I love this." And don't get me wrong, that's absolutely great. I'm so happy that they got this. The young Pakistani Muslim girl who got cool superpowers, or a Jewish guy who beats up people. I mean, I get it. That's not as marketable. But, I mean, and think about it. If they would have cast someone in this role as Kamala Khan and she didn't have Muslim heritage or wasn't Pakistani in any way, you really think there wouldn't have been an uproar? You don't think that there would have been like cancel like petitions everywhere? Because I know there would have been. And I just wish there would have been more people who fought the same way like I am for inclusion across the board. Don't just pick and choose which people get included because they're the ones going to make you the most money. If you have anything to say, please stitch or comment below. Thanks. But moving on. I do love the way her mother has already started to change and giving Kamala a little bit more freedom. Granted, I'm sure if she would have said it was a party and not having some people over, the answer would have been different. But at the party, we see Kamran jump off a structure into a pool, and both Kamala and Nakia, they say, God has willed it in Arabic, because they both think he's hot. Now, you can see the absolute jealousy in Bruno's face there. This poor guy. Then, when the party is broken up, they escape in Kamran's car, and there's this obvious chemistry between Kamala and Kamran. And then Bruno just can't help himself but put himself in between them, literally doing so at one point. It's also funny the different reactions when Kamala gets Kamran's number. Nakia is so proud and smiling with love, and Bruno's just pissed. Now, you can't blame him for being pissed with Kamran intentionally saying his name wrong, which is a kind of a dick move, but, you know, could be a lot worse. And I absolutely love the music montage when she's just on cloud nine and from this night of excitement. But and it's such a great representation for teenagers. I mean, a lot of times, I know when I was a teenager, I was kind of in my own world. And while living in the very real world, she's also simultaneously living in her own world, which is such a stark parallel to her own life, where it's just vibrant music and colors and all this beautiful, awesome singing and love and all that, which is not what, you know, really gets there. And I love in the first episode and this episode when Kamran and Kamala are texting, the way they displayed it's so stylistic. And it, like I said in the last episode, reminds me of Scott Pilgrim. And this is a perfect avenue for the comic style storytelling, just like us and Iman herself are just huge fans of these characters, and her ideal world would be to be one of them in this show as a living comic. That's pretty much what we got right now. And, you know, Kamala has some issues controlling her powers in school, which leads to this heart-to-heart with Nakia, where she expressed how hard it is for her. You know, some say she's too white, some say she's too ethnic. This is another great example of why this show is needed. There are so many people who feel that way, and they definitely can get that representation this way. And I'm very happy for them. I just wish we got it too. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, and I apologize, but there are some hills I'll die on, and this is one of them. Kamala has a lot of, like, love for Nakia, and that, like, they're I mean, I get that they're, like, real close and they're, like, best friends, but they're, like, more like sisters at this point. And, you know, Bruno gets called to the guidance counselor's office. And can we just say how awesome that guy is? I mean, he quoted Mulan in the first episode, and then he said, "You're going to be a Jedi." And then reference Devil Wears Prada. I mean, like, this guy's pretty awesome. I think he's a little over the top, but hey, what are you going to do? And he tells Bruno that he has the opportunity of a lifetime. He tells him that he was approved for the early immersion program at Caltech, which makes the fact that he's such a like technological whiz have a lot more relevancy, and basically like confirms that it's not like he can just make cool gloves. Like, this dude's like a genius. So he has an all-expense-paid trip to take a semester at Caltech, which is obviously, like, amazing. And first thing he does is run to Kamala, and she kind of just blows him off. Like, brushes them off like, hey, no big deal. I'm going to go get a driving test from this new hottie. Poor Bruno. And it's clear, to me at least, here that he loves her and has for quite some time. And I just hope he can break out of that friend zone. Not for nothing, but this is how supervillains are created. I'm just saying. She does ask him if he's going to the Eid. I'm sure I said that wrong. She spins it like it's a good chance to get some background on the bangle, thanks to the gossiping people at the mosque. After Kamala shows off her Bowser-like driving skills, they go to this little Indian diner, and they start having this little furtive conversation, talking about Shah Rukh Khan, who is one of the most famous actors in the world. And I honestly bet that you didn't know about him, because I didn't know about him. It's really crazy that someone has such a worldwide following, probably is not known to a lot of people in our side of the world, which is because I believe that the majority of Americans kind of live in this little bubble, separate from the world. I mean, and when I started researching for this episode, I was shocked to see just how big SRK, or the King of Bollywood, is, and I didn't even know about him. I mean, this guy's a legend, decorated in so many awards, including 14 Film Awards, Filmfare Awards, which is an annual award that's honor artistic and technical excellence in the Hindi language film industry, and countless other awards all across the world. And I honestly am ashamed that someone who claims to love cinema as much as I do, I didn't know anything about this glorious man. And I have to say thank you to the team that made this show, because I wouldn't have been exposed to this unless this happened. And I really think that it would be a great thing for many people to watch this show and feel that and go and learn about something else from a different culture. And I know I just sound like a bitter little child, but again, this is exactly what I wanted. This is the kind of care representation that Moon Knight deserved, and the Jewish people did as well. So just keep that in mind, Marvel. Thanks. During their conversation, Kamala says, "My Ami," and then immediately translates it to "mom" for Kamran. And he's like, "Hey, I know what Ami means." Like, and that sends Kamala just head over heels. And it's something that it's a movie trope that happens a lot, but it was definitely something that I really enjoyed, because it's a trope for a reason. Now, I admittedly don't know much about the Muslim culture, but I'm going to assume that family members are very protective of other family members, especially in the realm of dating, like it is in many cultures. And I would love someone who is familiar with this to like stitch or comment this this video and explain it to me, because I genuinely want to hear from someone who knows firsthand, so I can know if I'm at least reading this in the show correctly. Seriously, I'm not trying to just get clicks. If you can answer this for me, please do. Thank you. I really love that the first confirm that Amir and Kamala are brother and sister, so it's clear that they're referring to the religious ways when they say, like, cousin, like, my cousin, we cousin. Yeah. Now, over dinner, we get some more backstory regarding the family and their history before they came to America. They spoke about the partition of India. This is an event that took place in 1947 when the British left India after controlling it for nearly 300 years. And the country of India was broken up into two independent countries, India and Pakistan. And I bet most people probably didn't know that either. Again, referencing what I was talking about before, about, you know, living in a bubble. We need to really expand our horizons and really look at the world and not just our own countries. At least that's just my opinion, but what do I know? This leads to a story about Kamala's mom, Manubi, and their family. Her mother, Sana, Kamala's grandmother, was separated from the family, and Kamala's dad tells his heartwarming story about how she got on the last train. And when asked about Sana's mother, it got very tense, and Yusuf, who's her father, if you didn't know that, just changes the subject, and that is when the bangle starts glowing. With the power surging, she gets a vision, and you can hear a train sounding in the background, if you didn't notice, and then a faint silhouette. We can come back to reality when we come back to reality. Kamala's on the ground, her entire family is fussing over, which is a really cute moment actually, and it reminded me of like a Jewish grandmother, because that's exactly what happened with it. If you fall over, she was like, "Have you eaten? Did you eat too much? Did you eat too little?" That's such a caring thing, and I love that. So she calls her grandmother to get some intel, and she's told that the bangle belonged to her grandmother's mother, Aisha, who, from what I can gather from the comics research, is not really in Marvel Comics. In fact, Kamran's mother in the comics is named Bushra, so there's a definite change there. Also in the comics, Kamran is also an Inhuman, like Kamala, gets his powers from the Terrigen Mist, and he can admit bright blue-white energy, which he can use to shock enemies or explode objects. Not for nothing, but what color is Ms. Marvel's powers currently? And maybe the bangle is holding her powers back? Or maybe they're going to take that part of her powers, and Kamran's going to get those powers like he did in the comics, and then she'll have her normal stretching abilities? I mean, that would be pretty interesting and a great way to flip the script on people who were complaining about the powers. Don't get me wrong, I don't like how she got the powers initially, and now obviously in this episode that's fixed. But I mean, I don't necessarily like her powers, but I'm not going to stop watching a show over it. I mean, that's just freaking stupid. During the conversation, her father overhears some of it and tries to get into a room. Kamala uses her powers to hold the door shut while she tries to get as much information as she can, but you know, her grandmother hangs up and she pretends that she was sleeping. I feel bad for her dad here because, you know, he thinks now, after checking on her and seeing she was there and not talking to anyone, at least what he believes, he must think he's hearing things. And he must be like, how could he not get the door open? Like, I do you know how crazy that would drive me if I tried to do that and like I walk in, it's just my dog laying on the bed, but I couldn't get in the room? Like, that would be freaking me out. That'd be totally freaking me out. I wouldn't even know what to do at that point. I wouldn't be able to compose myself. And it's clear between both her mother and her grandmother's actions, even her father's, that In this way, it's not we don't talk about Bruno, it's we don't talk about Aisha. She said that she had to move halfway around the world to forget the shame that she brought in her family. And one theory I have is to the shame she's referring to is that maybe she joined an evil organization? Maybe like Clandestine, that's been rumored to be in the show for a while. In the comics, they were a superpowered individuals that span centuries. Not sure if I buy into it really, but it's definitely something that could be, because if it is her grandmother, great-grandmother, then she would be pretty old at this point, and that's not what we're seeing in these visions. I really also love the choice to show that the strict Muslim parents love Bon Jovi, further driving home the fact that they're just regular people. It's just they have different religious views than you. I would bet that many people who were watching it were like, why is it not traditional Pakistani music? And honestly, shame on you if you're one of those people. Now go to the Eid. I feel like I'm saying it wrong, and I do apologize. I really do. I really do love, I feel like I'm Bruno here. Like, is this good? Is this good? I'm sorry. Please, is this good enough? But he did his best to get the traditional clothing to fit in. And he's such a great character. And damn you, Kamala, for friend-zoning this boy. Nakia decides, knows that she has to work the crowd because she's running for the mosque board. And the way she plays Kamala's dad into a corner, she hit him with so much guilt, mentioning they were demonstrating their right for democracy, to dream of building a better future. Yusuf says, that's wonderful. And then she goes, yeah, wouldn't it be horrible to rob two young women of the future, of that future, uncle? And the camera work in this scene where Nakia is convincing Yusuf to give her his vote, the camera angles, if you watch carefully, they completely flipped to show the power dynamic. One side, when she walks up, she's the, you know, the weak young lady who's coming to ask for the big strong man's vote. And then she turned the tables and she now is in the power position. And it showed that in the framing of the shot too, which was just beautiful. Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. It just rendered him speechless. And, but you know, it was definitely a great use of the camera work. And I always have to, you know, pause to say things like that, because that's part of what makes a show great. And then you got the Illuminantes, but more on that later. And can we just talk about Department of Damage Control? They a bunch of bitches. Like, at least the team that is going after the supers is. And no, so does Agent Cleary, like, just get off on manipulating kids? I mean, he seemed to enjoy himself when he was tormenting Ned in No Way Home, and again here with Zoe. Also, side note, am I the only one who finds it weird they can just pick up random kids and question them without lawyers present? And I want to say, though, Aryan Moayad, I'm sure I said your name wrong and I apologize, is playing this role so well. Remember, you can hate a character or love to hate them, but that does not give you the right to attack them. In fact, I would say if their performance can elicit such a strong reaction, then you should applaud them and praise them. Think about this. These people who are attacking Moses Ingram and other actors across all of time, but Moses Ingram in general, she's basically playing a dark space wizard with a sword made of light. And if a performance that is so out there, like of a character that's just so out there, can really affect you on an emotional level, that should be praised, because that's absolutely amazing. And Aryan is doing another great representation of that as Agent Cleary. I mean, his acting here is top notch, because I hate this character. Like, he's a freaking jerk and I just want him to get what's coming to him. And I want to praise the actor for making me have that reaction, because that's not easy. This is a fake character. Character doesn't exist. And here we are. And here I am just going, like, just angry at how they're treating these children. And in the end, it's a made-up character, and their performances just accentuate what the character is supposed to be, and it definitely shows that you can be a good actor and be a horrible character at the same time. So when we go back to the Illuminantes, we hear them talking about, they talk about Aisha, they mention a few things. They mention an affair, having a whole different family. More on that later. She was a snake, but she put a curse on everything she touches, and that she killed a man. There is not much time to go into that. But I feel like those points will all come back. I just hope she doesn't turn into a snake. that would just be kind of upsetting for me. But during the celebration, a little brat that is trying to increase his Snapchat score almost fell to his death, and all this commotion starts, and it takes Bruno all of 2 seconds to stop looking at the boy up there and go, where's Kamala? I loved it. So awesome. And he was even quick enough to come up with a lie for to Nakia about where Kamala is. So, I mean, it just, again, this dude deserves better. When Kamala goes to aid the boy, someone sees her and goes, look, there's Nightlight. And I'm sure she hated that. There's this cute little moment when she was trying to get the boy's mind off of the fact that he was literally, desperately about to, almost fall to his death. He says he likes ice cream pizza. Yes, I put them together, he says. It was great that the crowd was like, did he just say ice cream pizza? And you know that's going to be a thing. You know there's going to be ice cream pizza later in the episode, later in the series. But at first, Kamala is, treading lightly with her powers and just kind of walking slowly. And then she sees the boy about to fall. Then she just runs on the platforms, even throwing one at the boy's feet. And now I did mention this earlier. But this kid is, Nakia's shoes were stolen in the mosque. And, it's this kid. We see him on there and, he kind of deserved what he did, what he got. I mean, he didn't deserve to die, but he didn't. So, and... she had a slight miscue and almost didn't save him, but they landed, if you look real closely, it looked like she was almost flattened. It kind of gives me a little bit more credence to my theory that she has her regular powers and that the bangle is somehow containing them. And I think that could be something we see later on. I do love how she had to do her little Black Widow superhero landing, so proud of herself. And I think it would just be really cool to see if, if she does have the regular powers and she just one that just breaks through that hard light she's gotten. It's just super stretched. And you see Kamala going, oh, that would be really cool. And of course, she does save the day. And she then is being hunted by the, the damage control people. And I don't know if everyone noticed this, but those drones, those were Stark Tech drones. Exactly like the ones that Tom Holland had access to in No Way Home. So that leads me to wonder if they, seized the tech and are now using it. And that's why when Peter tried to use the Stark Network, it wasn't available because they had basically hijacked it. And it's interesting that as long as they're controlling the drones, it's fine. She was able to get away, and nothing too crazy. She's just running away. She just hit one with her big hard light hand. And then one of the other drones, she jumped over this car and shot it. And I was like, whoa, that was a little too advanced for someone who, almost just had a kid die in her hands because she couldn't control her powers. And then, when she falls on the other side of the truck, I'm like, okay, whew. Okay. I definitely like that. And then, of course, Cameron shows up and gets Kamala in the car, speeds away. In the back seat is what looks like the woman from the Visions, and Cameron introduces her as his mother. Giving way to what the Illuminati said about her having another family, and it appears that Cameron is not her cousin, but maybe her uncle? And likely far older than he appears, which would mean, thank God they didn't kiss, that theory I just had is right. Because that would have been real bad if he's old as hell, as old as his mom, as Kamala's mom maybe, because she's 16 in the show. Whew. But yeah, that was kind of a rapid fire review. I think I did the review almost the time it would take you to watch the episode. Just go watch the episode. But if you have any questions, come back and watch this. And if not, that's cool with me. I'm still going to keep making these. I said I was going to do all these episodes. I could have just not made them. But here I am after midnight. I got work in the morning. Still coming here with your knowledge. But yeah, that's going to be it for this episode. I feel like there's still a lot of room to grow in the Ms. Marvel show, and I'm glad that we're going to get a chance to see this character grow, and hopefully for many years to come. And let's just, applaud Iman again, because she's been so amazing. And the entire production team, all y'all deserve just every... If this show doesn't win or at least get nominated for multiple Emmys, it's rigged. And it's ridiculous because some of the shows that have been put out from Disney Plus, like, you know, like WandaVision or Loki or The Mandalorian, they all deserved a lot more respect in the film industry, at least from the acting standpoint. If you want to talk about the not getting your best TV show or whatever, that's fine. That's opinionated. When you see actors knocking it out the park day in and day out, it shouldn't matter what the premise of the show is. It shouldn't matter that there's superheroes or Star Wars involved. It should just be about the talent and about the performance and about the work. Doesn't seem to be the case, but I digress. But if you've watched this and made it this far, we're now 45 minutes in. I really appreciate you stopping by. I will be having a episode about the newest episode of The Boys before the Herogasm episode comes out, because I'm sure I'm going to have to take a whole episode for that episode alone. But if you're watching this or hearing this, please like, share, subscribe if you enjoyed the content. If you like Marvel, Star Wars, pretty much anything multi-fandom, this is the place for you. I get Nerdtween here on IG, Drip, TikTok, all the same. Just Nerdtween, like Tatooine, but for nerds. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime, signing off.